meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest, when she arrives at the studio, which should be momentarily, is our dear... Well, is Drew's dear friend, but my dear friend,
okay.
Kathy Griffin,
mm-hmm.
a very funny comedian who I've known since known for about 15 years, I would say.
When do we drop the comedian?
I thought about that, so I said half.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I didn't say comedian.
I heard it.
And I didn't say comedian. I said comedian.
But people have dropped the comedian. That used to be a very, in the 70s, emphasized.
I'm glad they have. I don't really know the difference. Like, it's not incorrect to call a female comedian a comedian.
No, it's kind of weird to
comedian. Yeah, all right. So anyway, she's going to be in here because she's doing that Celebrity Mole. If you have a TV set, you've probably seen a promotion for that. And so in Hawaii, and Drew desperately wanted to do it, but our program director wouldn't let him do it.
Right. Well, let me go. During the fall book.
Drew would do anything for a couple of grand.
No, it sounded like interesting. It sounded fun.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about one of life's simple pleasures.
Not working. I know that's one of your, that was one of your foremost.
You know, it was funny. I was driving in here. I put in a 7-8 hour day today.
Oh, you all right?
Yeah. No, I'm not. And I was driving in tonight. It was like about 9:45. And whenever I think about not, I was calling my dad on my cell phone. And I guess I was thinking about whenever I call my family, it reminds me of no work because these people really have a zero work ethic. No one in my family works. Everyone's like I'm you to them. Do you understand
you're
that?
Workaholic.
I'm a Japanese businessman who's hopped up on ephedrine.
Oh, like what's the matter with you, man? Can't you cool out a little bit?
You know, my family members, like if they like blew out a sandal or something, they'd have to take a few weeks off work. I mean, they're overwhelmed very easily. They don't get a lot done. And God bless them, we're all going to live until they're 90 because they're like, it's like you buy a car and you just parked it in a garage and put it up on blocks.
And God bless you, you'll be supporting them, taking care of those cars on blocks.
That's possible. Yeah. Yes. So here's the point. I was thinking about not working, and I always daydream about, when's my next day off? When can I get a day off? And then I thought to myself, are you high? You haven't worked in 2 weeks. You worked 7 hours today. And then I thought, well, what about last week? I thought, no, this time last week you're sitting at home watching TV. You haven't worked in 2 weeks, and you worked one day, and you're thinking about your next day off?
Oh, yeah. You are true to your heritage, man.
Yeah, I'm keeping it real. So let me, Kathy Griffin's going to be in here in just a second. Let me just tell you about one of life's purest and simplest pleasures.
Other than your masturbatory napping habits?
Done and done, as far as today goes.
Yeah.
Check both those boxes.
Of course.
I was just getting out of the shower the other day and noticed, I don't know what you want to call it. It's more than a zit, but less than a carbuncle.
Uh-oh.
on the ass cheek. And not on the flat part, but it's a little on the hip part there, like where you could see it if you twist and pull. You know, you got to pull a little cheek, bend a little cheek around and do a little thing, and there it is. And it's been there for a while. I haven't noticed it. But probably
maturing.
4 or 5 days, nicely, like a nice bottle of red wine. And I always think about you and then laugh like a hyena when I hear you say not to lance stuff, because that's the only way to get rid of something like this. It ain't going away. It's there. It's sealed up. It ain't going on its own. I just turned around.
Pow.
Dropped a pin into that thing, and it was like dropping it into a grape. It's like as soon as I pierced the outer skin, it just dropped in. It felt like it dropped in about 8 feet, but it was probably 3/16 of an inch. But it was like little pressure, prick, and then effortless. The pin just slides in. You don't even feel it. It's like it's bizarre because this pin is going into your body.
Did you release like an audible squeal?
Oh. Pulled the pin out, and it was like, oh, yeah. It was Mount St. Helens, and it was great. And I just thought... and then looked forward to doing it again when I got home tonight because it's very gratifying. And I don't want to, I don't want anyone to get infections or anything, but I have to laugh at you, Drew, when you tell me no home lancing. I've done thousands of home lancing.
Well, not everyone is as responsible with their home lancing as you are.
No, I...
Or as skilled, let's face it.
Yeah, but I don't clean anything or sterilize anything.
Well, you're dropping something into a cesspool, basically.
Yeah, I couldn't find a pin upstairs tonight. I was searching around my bathroom. I found it stuck to the bottom of a glass I keep my toothbrush in, peeled it off with my fingernail, stuck it right in.
Problem is people will not drop stuff into mature abscess cavities. They'll drop it into the soft tissue and just infect the crap out of it.
I'm just saying, all this sterilization stuff, way overrated.
Oh, boy.
Jane?
Yes?
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I was just calling because I had a question. I waited until I was married this last August to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sort of wondering, I mean, when it gets good...
Not a good sign.
When does it get good?
Well, I mean, it's good emotionally, and it's fun, and I have a good time with it, but when does
it...
Great.
I mean, when do you have an orgasm?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm. Well, you've been at a commission for your whole life. You just got started, how long? In August, did you say?
Yeah.
You tried masturbating?
Oh, yeah, I did that before I got married.
So you're able to have an orgasm?
Yes.
And does he do oral sex on you?
Yeah.
And that doesn't work?
I mean, sometimes it does, but it seems like it just takes forever, and then I get into this mood where I'm like, okay, you've been down there forever. Let's just get it over with.
That's not a male thing.
Is he experienced?
Yes.
He is?
Yes. I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like he's bad, because he's not. He'll do anything possible to try. You know, I just wonder
if... Being willing to do anything possible doesn't necessarily mean good.
I know, but you think he's a good lover? I mean, other than the part where he's game.
Well, I think so, because, I mean, he's very, like...
All right, hold on.
Hold on.
Kathy Griffin is just coming to the studio, by the way.
Hi, fellas.
Kathy.
Good to see you, Kathy.
I walked in and I just heard, do you think he's a good lover?
Yeah.
I knew I was in the right place.
Yeah, although I almost never say lover, do I?
No, that's very gay in the 1970s of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is my lover, Richard.
Kathy Griffin is a dear, dear, dear friend and is going to be on the Celebrity Mole, which is coming up on Wednesday. This Wednesday.
I've never been prouder.
10 o'clock on ABC. Of course, you can't say who the mole is.
I can't say anything. I can't say if I'm the mole. I can't say how many episodes I may or may not last. I can't say if I win. Nothing.
My goodness. Was it fun?
It was fun sometimes.
Challenging.
It was challenging, yes.
Was it challenging?
Yes. I'm not a thrill seeker.
Mm.
Okay, I don't want to jump off cliffs. It was that kind of crap where I show up and they're like, put a bathing suit on and jump off a cliff.
Right.
I don't want to. I have cellulite and also a fear of heights.
Let's see, Stephen
and
Baldwin.
I have a fear of my cellulite.
Corbin Burnson.
It's all the D-list, fellas. Let's be honest. Strictly D-list all the way.
Kim Coles, we know. Who's Michael Boatman?
He's on Spin City and Arliss.
Hold on a sec. I know he's going to be on the show after I say this, but does Arliss need to be on? How long has Arliss been on?
It was just canceled. It was on for like 5 years or so. It was on forever.
It was on like 8 or 9 seasons, it seemed like.
Nobody loved it. Sports guys must have loved it.
Listen, all I do is hang out with sports guys and nobody liked it. Frederic von Nazi Menace in here.
Yes. Still a member of the party.
Eric Von Detten. Now, who's Eric Von Detten?
Exactly. He's the co-star of Dinotopia.
Oh, Dinotopia.
Yeah. That's the level we're dealing with here, okay?
That's that food ride at Disneyland? That's where you're getting to that
diner? I can't believe they didn't get...
You're getting the diner booth and
How did they not get Darva and Coolio? Okay?
I don't know.
Where were they that day? Because I was ready to look over on the plane and see Darva.
Well, listen, Kathy, at least you're not being dwarfed by these celebrities. You're the biggest name
you think?
In this badge.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I'd say so.
If that's all I got, I'll take it.
Any personality conflicts?
Yes, a lot of personality conflicts. Here's the thing. I don't get along with people that well to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be jumping off cliffs with any of these people.
Right.
I didn't like any of them, and none of them liked me.
Oof.
No, that's not true. I actually really got along well with Michael Boatman and Kim Coles. And the host, Ahmad Rashad, who I found to be delightful.
Oh yes.
Nice. He was very sweet and very funny, and I liked him a lot.
And anyone you didn't get along with?
I did not get along with, well, Corbin Burnson, I think could kill people. Like, he's one of those guys, you know how people are always ending up buried in the Angeles Crest Forest?
Right.
That forest I will never go to, by the way. It's the only time I hear about it on the news is when someone's buried there.
I thought it was a graveyard. I didn't really know it was a forest. I thought it was a Jewish cemetery.
Well, you might want to check Burnson's DNA. I think he might have buried a few people there.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
And Baldwin, you get along
Baldwin,
with him?
Yeah, Baldwin got so mad at me one time he choked me. He's got a lot of anger issues.
And what about Frederick?
Frederick, I tried to choke.
Oh, really?
So there's a lot of choking going on.
All right. And this is Wednesday night.
Now I want to see this.
See?
Yeah.
Come
Wednesday,
on.
I'm in.
10 o'clock. You got a TiVo it, Drew.
And also, I'm also back at the Laugh Factory now on Thursdays, so I can actually dish the previous night's mole.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Now, is how many episodes?
There are six episodes.
Oh, six episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I wasn't. For some reason, I thought it was a one-time celebrity thing. So, how long were you in Hawaii?
I can't believe you didn't do it, Drew. Because they were. This is what's so great. They hooked me in by saying that Queen Latifah was going to do it. So I was like, "That's cool. I'm in." And then, of course, she pulled out. But of course, I was like, "Well, I've made a commitment. You know, I'm still
right,
in."
Right.
And then down to the wire. Of course, they couldn't get anybody.
Right.
And then they said that you were going to do it, Drew. So what the hell happened?
They wouldn't let me on the radio.
Now I want to choke you.
Yeah. We would end up hating each other, see?
I know. We would have choked each other.
All right, so this is Wednesday night for 6 weeks, and we'll find out. Will we find out who the mole is at the last one, or
yeah.
Do you know every
it
week?
It sounds interesting, though. Doesn't it sound interesting? I mean,
I hope they play up the dishy aspects of it, because a lot of crazy stuff happens.
So you have not seen any final cut or
right.
anything like
right.
that. You have no idea how you're going to come across.
No, I haven't, but I'm sure I come across very, very well and very likable and charming. And also, I'm sure I look very attractive coming out of the water with my no makeup on and my bad attitude and chagrin.
I know, you know, it is a little, I always think about it with these shows, these survival type shows, like as I just got done telling Drew, I lanced a carbuncle on my ass
that's
cheek.
So disgusting.
Well, that's
it?
Life. He's
yes, I did.
He's a doctor. But here's my point.
You know you're on the radio.
No, I use this mic as an intercom to communicate with Drew, who has to use headphones to hear me. That's the way I look at it.
I hope you put rubbing alcohol on the pin at least.
No, absolutely not.
He scraped it out of his toothpaste jar.
Here's my point. These survival shows where everyone's walking around and nothing but some Zoris and a sarong and no one's got makeup on. There's no plucking going on. I mean, you know, what I was thinking about this with Survivor, I'd have a whitehead on my forehead for 17 episodes and no one would say anything. You know, like, how do they, can they check themselves?
I don't know.
Like, women especially, because, you know.
It's awful.
Kathy's practically Phyllis Diller. I mean, she's just
right.
2-3 hours
gotta
before.
Have my lashes on. You know me.
No, I mean, I'm saying, she doesn't go down to Starbucks without having her stylist swing by the house
exactly.
and put
the
something
team,
together for
the
her.
The team is there every morning.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Who are we talking to, Drew?
Jane.
Jane,
she
that's
she
right.
She wants to know when sex gets good after you got married.
Jane?
She was a virgin when she got married.
Jane, well, here's the problem. You're on this learning curve now because you didn't get started in high school like everybody else. And you've met, you have the right guy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You're not worried about him?
No.
You're in love with the guy?
Oh, absolutely.
Why did you remain a virgin until your marriage?
Just because I wanted it to be special.
Look how special it is for her now.
Wow. Yeah, really paid dividends.
No, it really was. Because
it was.
I'm actually really glad that I did.
Are you Jessica Simpson and are you talking about Nick Lachey?
What?
From 98 Degrees, because I heard about them.
Now, you're not a religious person?
Well, yeah, I was raised in a Christian family.
But do you have a problem? Do you feel uncomfortable with your sexuality? Is there a problem when you guys are together?
Oh, no. And in fact, I was engaged before this person, and, you know, we started to fool around, but in front of him, I couldn't even get undressed.
How come?
I mean, oh, because he was just a pig. I am 5'2", and I weigh 180 pounds, and he had this big issue with my weight, so I dumped him. And, you
good.
Know, that's why I didn't marry him, because I just didn't want that.
Adam, don't
no,
say...
Well,
let me
do the radio math. 5'2", 180. Let me grab my Let me grab my abacus here. Give me five. I get 5 1 3/16 198. I just did the radio math, but here's my point. Is we start to peel the layers of the onion back. There's always a little something in there. Yeah.
Why can't she have a nice cheeseburger and enjoy her life?
She's fine. I'm not talking about the weight.
She's not on Friends. She can have a few extra pounds.
I'm not talking about the weight. I'm talking about there's always more than meets the eye. It's like, hey, why were you a virgin? Hey, I just wanted it to be special. How's the guy? He's great. And then you start to scratch.
I was engaged for that pig.
Right. So now there's some issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you. Jane?
I'm sorry, what?
How do you feel about yourself?
I mean, I don't know what you want me to go into, but I like who I am.
Good.
Did you ever have problems with who you are?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Well, my dad gave me a piece of advice when I was in junior high and just said, the second you stop caring about what other people think about you and start caring about what you think about you, then everybody else will like what they see. And so I just followed that. And
who's your dad? Was a Jiminy Cricket? Who's your dad?
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have. He didn't. Well, my dad, from time to time, has sang "When You Wish Upon a Star," but that's a whole different.
Do you think that you've used your way?
I don't know. Her dad gave her some warmed over euphemism about something, and who cares?
She's way up in her head. Let me see if I can get it out.
All right.
Jane.
You know.
Do you ever think that you used your weight to push people away?
I think right now I use
Has your weight been sort of a comfort, a way of keeping people at arm's distance?
Not really, because I'm a real social person.
And you've never had boyfriends, though?
Oh, I've had boyfriends.
And but never had sex with them?
Never had sex
with them. And you're close with them, long-term relationships, that sort of thing?
With the one before my husband, yes.
The pig?
The pig.
Now, how did that go from a close, loving relationship to he's a pig?
It just, you know, everything started off fine, and after we'd been together for a couple of years, you know, he kept putting off the marriage, saying that he didn't want to marry me until I lost the weight. And even when we found out that it was a genetic thing that caused me to gain the weight, mm-hmm. still didn't believe me.
Okay.
And I broke up with him. And
all right, good. She had enough dignity and self-worth to break up with the guy, and that's good.
All right. So she just
needs
to work.
She'll settle in with this
guy. You need to work with your present husband. Just really communicate with him, keep at it, learn, explore each other.
Yeah.
Don't hold back.
All right. But she is up in her head. There are some issues going on.
You can't get, it's like emotionally detached.
Yeah.
But,
why does she have to do everything? I hate when you guys do this. Why isn't the husband has to do some work?
Oh, he does.
Maybe he's terrible in bed.
She said he will do anything she asks him. She open with that. He does everything. Anything I ask, he'll do it immediately.
Well, why is she always asking? Why isn't it a little more mutual?
Yeah.
Sounds like she's exhausted.
God bless her dad, though, for giving her that piece of trite advice. My only thing I remember my dad telling me was that tough skin's just as good as Levi's. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what the kids say. We're saving $2.75 so that you can sit on the geek bench, but that's fine. Those shiny, reinforced denim jeans, that's fine. Drew, did you have to get the tough skins? Did you have Levi's when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
Drew, are you a child of privilege?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. His parents had money, but they kind of waved it around in front of him, you know what I mean?
What does that mean? You didn't really get any?
He perceives his life as not getting that. But let me tell you where the cutoff points are for the haves and the have-nots with the kids, for males at least, and to some degree for females too. Did you get to wear Levi jeans, or did you have to wear the super denim ones that JCPenney put out because they're $1.50 cheaper?
No, pennies for sure.
Okay, so if you had Levi's, you're already on the good side of that line.
If you had Levi's, you're pretty high and mighty.
And here's the second one. So Levi's versus super denim and tough skin, which was Sears. And the second division, and this is probably more for guys than it is for girls, did you have a Schwinn bicycle or a Huffy?
Mm.
Yeah, you're looking at Mr. Huffy with the super denim jeans over here.
Nice.
Did you have a Schwinn?
Yep.
Oh, Drew, I never want to hear another word out of you.
Wow.
Levi's peddling his Schwinn around in his Levi's, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at little Lord Fauntleroy over here.
That's right. Schwinn and Levi's, please. Amy?
Yeah.
You're 22?
And I was styling.
Oh. I never knew Drew had a Schwinn. Oh, you're done.
Yeah.
You're 22.
No, never mind the fact that I was 19 with my knees dragging on the ground. I think it was still the one the four-year-old should be driving.
Oh,
the
Drew.
The banana seat.
Cry me a river.
With the big hand.
He had a stingray, son of a
stingray,
bitch.
Stingray, right.
Amy, what's up? You're 22.
Well, I heard Dr. Drew talking about how alcoholism being kind of like a disease and it seems to be passed down, you know, in your family. Well, that's kind of a weird question, but my mom, I've learned little bits and pieces of my mom's life down the line, and I hear she told me this past year that she was told by a doctor, I don't know where, when, whatever, that she was a nympho. That she was clinically labeled a nympho.
Well, there's no such thing as nymphomania. It's not a term that has any meaning anymore.
That word.
So that's not something that anybody said to her.
That word ruined decades.
So that's not a term. Now, she may be a sexual addict or a sexual compulsive.
But yeah, I've labeled it as nympho, but
And
yeah.
If she's a compulsive or sex addict, that suggests that she was sexually abused in childhood at some point.
Well, see, I know she wasn't sexually abused or anything like that, because I know my
grandparents.
Is
she bipolar?
Well.
It doesn't have to be from the parents. It could have been a neighbor or anybody. I mean, it could have babysitter.
I don't know. I don't dig too far to my mom's past.
Yeah, so there's really three.
Stop at nympho and just basically hoes.
There are three common issues that come to bear in sexual compulsion and excessive sexuality, and that is bipolarity. If somebody has a manic history and they get manic and have, you know, sort of hypersexuality on that basis. Two, they get sexually abused. And three, addiction. The sexual compulsive or sexual addiction can be part of a global addictive process.
Okay. Now, is that something that, I mean, like I said, you were talking about alcoholism and stuff. Is that something that can be passed down? Because she was telling me that I'm not quite sure how it really
She
works
thinks she's
it.
An info. Is that where this is going?
Yeah,
Amy,
where's
you think
this
you're
going?
An info?
Well, kind of, because the way she was talking
Amy,
about it.
Nympho.
Oh, Amy, No. Well, the way she was talking about it was that, you know, like when she was younger or when she was, you know, first married to my dad.
Right, some guy told her she's a nympho, I guarantee you. Dude, she's a total nympho.
I don't understand why Amy's arguing. She talked to her mom. Her mom said that when she was younger, she was a nymphomaniac. She thinks it's been passed down to her. And then when you ask her about that, she's like, no, my mom. No, my mom said, no. Like, what's your question? I don't want to talk about your mom. Do you think you're a nymphomaniac or not?
Well, kind of. I mean, just the things that she was saying.
Just shut up. I don't care about what she said. I want to know about what you think you are.
What's happening to you.
Yes, I think I am.
Okay. How many sexual partners have you had?
18.
Are you addicted to anything else?
No, I don't do drugs. I don't smoke.
Do you have alcoholism or addiction in your family anywhere?
There's alcoholism in my family on my dad's side.
What's his ethnicity?
What's that?
What's his ethnicity, your dad?
Is he Irish?
North American. North American.
I don't know. They're Polish. Their family's Polish.
All right. And have you been traumatized growing up in any way? Were you abandoned?
You
have no sexual abuse or physical abuse or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, they're just boy experiences. That's about it.
At what age?
Well, it was kind of an early age when I started, like, having boyfriends and stuff like that. But really didn't get sexually active until about 15 or 16.
All right. You're fine. You just run a little hot, baby.
You may be an addict, too. And addicts do this sort of thing. You know, this may be the earliest manifestation of your sort of thrill-seeking behavior.
Sounds a little
manic-y. Let's keep the partners down to a shout, though, okay? Let's not try to break any records, Amy.
Well, 18, you know, just 22.
All right.
Living up there in Alaska.
Just let's not do 18 at one time.
Right.
And also, you know,
no trains pulling.
Certain personality disorders, too, like borderline personalities, can be sexually compulsive. And those women with those sort of mothers with those sorts of disorders tend to pass personality problems onto their daughters.
Plus, you know, you got a mom with some boundary issues when she's sitting the daughter down and telling her, let me tell you about when your mama was a whore.
Mama went to a doctor who said she was a nympho.
Yeah.
What doctor is that?
Yeah.
Fakey doctor from Fakey Town?
Yeah, Dr. Bombay was explaining to her she was a nympho.
Bitty Boom Pots.
All right, Kathy Griffin is here tonight. Celebrity Mole coming up this Wednesday, 10 o'clock.
Laugh Factory every Thursday, 8 o'clock.
Celebrity Mole will be on ABC. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kathy Griffin is our guest tonight. She's a dear, 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 dear old friend. Known Kathy for a good, I'd say 15 years. Yes.
Oh. Kathy has no mic.
I have no mic.
There you go.
There it is. Always
la,
a surprise to Anderson.
Okay.
She's on Celebrity Mole, which is coming up on ABC this Wednesday, 10 o'clock. And then she can also be found at the Laugh Factory, which is out here on Sunset.
Thursday nights. And also, if you live in Seattle, I will be there at Town Hall January 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Doing stand-up?
Doing stand-up.
You know, I was in Vancouver, or basically above Vancouver during the New Year's, and the Space Needle had the best fireworks display I've ever seen.
Really?
I mean, we should forget New York Times Square.
What's their secret?
I don't know. It was spectacular. It was amazing.
They launch it from...
All coming out of the Space Needle. All different directions and out the sides
stuff
of it.
Stuff coming out of the top and stuff?
The bottom, but all around it and out from it. It really was amazing. And I thought, I've never seen this. Never seen a broadcast.
Yeah, never hear about this,
no.
Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And we had that great, huge music. It's at the base. At the base of it is their music museum, you know. Then they had great music playing, and then it was all timed to the fireworks.
Where were you watching it from?
Canada. I was sort of in Vancouver. I was above Vancouver.
And you were able to see it from?
Because the television in that area is basically from out of Seattle.
Oh, I thought you were watching it.
No,
at a rooftop in Vancouver with just really good vision.
You're such a great storyteller. I was up above Seattle. I was watching this beautiful thing with the States. You're watching on TV, you schmuck. All right. Kathy Griffin, everybody. And, you know, this stand-up, it becomes like a trade that you can ply whenever something's not going on.
Oh, thank God.
In between gigs,
thank God.
Right?
Yes, thank God for stand-up. That's how, you know, I have years when that's my main source of income.
Really?
Yeah, that, I'm telling you, that and commercials. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, now what's, let's talk about Kathy Griffin for a second.
What
is
Are
your
we getting
life?
Inside?
Yeah, we're going. We're delving.
All right.
Now, what's the plan? I mean, you want to do another sitcom?
Yes, I'm actually doing a pilot of my own show for NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to shoot that in March.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be...
Is that a sitcom?
A sitcom based on my life and my experience. And more importantly, my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a pilot, so it may never see the light of day. We'll see.
Right.
And I'm very excited about that. And, you know, I'm a jack of all trades. Monday, I'm going to be a presenter at the American Music Awards. Oh, and I saw in Access Hollywood tonight that the gift bags for presenters and performers are worth $30,000. I can't wait.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't care.
$30,000?
It says worth. Now, you know, they also have weird stuff in there. Like, one time I got an e-bike, like an electric bicycle. You know, that probably was worth, like, $4,000 or whatever. But I'm thinking electronics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is my thing.
It is amazing.
Oh, I can't
wait. And it's amazing how you work, too, which is if somebody says, hey, we want you to come do this gig, we'll give you $8,000. You're like, please, I'm not getting on a plane for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they say... We'll give you $5,000 worth of junk.
Oh,
you're like, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
It's very gratifying.
It's like Cracker Jack.
You know,
how about all the celebrities that go to parties for a phone? Motorola parties, like all Courtney Cox goes and Leo. I saw Leo DiCaprio at a Motorola party. I thought I was the only one going for a free phone.
Now, those baskets have a crazy, I mean, the gift baskets that they give at the award shows have crazy, and like pieces of technology
and
that
gift certificates,
aren't really out
like weekends
yet.
Weekends away, like here's a weekend at the Monarch Bay Resort and stuff.
Wow.
Oh, I can't wait.
Jesus Christ. I do shows where I get like a duffel bag, you know, like
and
a
Smarties. I hate when they have like
a
novelty one with like old fashioned candies from a dime store in the 40s. I hate that crap. I want good stuff.
You know the ones I don't like? I don't like the basket full of crap that you have already. It's like, here's the basket. We got pasta and pasta sauce and there's some garlic cloves. It's like, this is $4 worth of junk from the Alpha Beta.
And here's a keychain.
Yes.
Oh.
All right. I know we're breaking everyone's heart.
Yeah, I know. The quality problems.
I remember one time I only got a $12,000 basket at one of those award shows. It was horrible.
Don't you hate when they send a town car, not a stretch?
Oh, my God. It's embarrassing. Sometimes you have to talk to the person who's driving you.
Can you imagine?
Oh. Michelle.
Michelle, 21.
Michelle hung up in disgust.
Oh, come on. Michelle?
Quality problems.
Michelle hung herself by her phone cord.
Oh, Michelle.
In Kathy's basket. Oh, that's the name of the show. What's in Kathy's basket?
Hello,
that's
boys.
That's the name of the sitcom.
Ooh, the cellophane's crinkling.
Brandon?
Oh, wait. Michelle's back. Hold on. Brandon, hang on 1 second.
Brandon,
come on.
I gotta go. Call waiting.
All right. Let's, Michelle?
Hello?
What's up?
Hi. I just want to say, first of all, you guys are awesome. I love you guys.
Great.
I've listened to you since I was like 16.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a question. Mm-hmm. I think I have inverted nipples on both of my boobs.
Why are you whispering? Who's in the room?
No one's in the room right now.
All right. Screaming from the rooftop.
I'm more curious about the way she describes it, because having inverted nipples is not a sort of a guessing game. You don't think I have it. Maybe I have it.
Can you stick stuff in there?
Can I what?
Like stick things in there? Like
no,
just lint get caught in there and stuff?
No, it's more, I guess, maybe like flat.
Flat nipples. Okay.
They don't protrude.
No.
No matter what, they don't?
No.
Okay.
And if you get excited or anything, they don't move?
Mm-mm.
What about when you're cold?
No, they like a little, tiny little bit. Maybe like it pokes out just a little bit.
Do you have, how is the size of your cans?
They're
38C. Mm, whoa!
Nice. And what about the areola? Is that big?
Not really. Not that big. Mm-mm.
Okay. So, but inverted really means inverted. Like there'll be like a crease going in.
Yeah, it's more, I guess more like flat.
Though. Yeah, just flat with a little protrusion. That's all right.
What do you do?
I am pretty flat as well. I don't think this is a medical problem.
What do you do for nursing, though? I mean, what do you do when
you have
kids?
They'll show up on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was one of my questions. I was wondering if there was anything you could do for it. Or
They'll present themselves.
Do you have any kids?
No. Nope.
All right. You married?
Nope.
You got a man?
Not right now. I was going out with someone for 4 years, and we just broke up a few months ago. Yeah.
Did he break up with you?
Well, he broke up with me, and then we got back together for like 4 months, and then it was kind of mutual, but I'm having a little bit of a hard time letting him go, you know.
Yeah.
4 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Have you tried stalking him, like driving by his house and stuff?
I do that sometimes.
I know, it's fun, isn't it?
Huh?
It's fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know, I love
it.
It's good.
No, you gotta let this one go. It needs to end.
Yeah,
it's time
to
get on with things.
All right. You find a guy who can appreciate
But call
him
a couple more times
nipples.
To hang up.
Okay.
Why not?
All right, baby.
Thank you, guys. I love you guys. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Isn't it nice to... And it's like on one hand, it's like saying, well, isn't it nice not having to brush your teeth and comb your hair and take a shower? But it's like, yeah, but you're dead. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's nice not having to deal with that part of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really get the highs anymore, let's face it, let's be honest, but you don't bottom out anymore.
What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about that whole dating stuff and all those hormones raging and where you're totally freaked out and you start driving by the person's house. There's a car parked out front. Whose car is that?
And feeling it. That's what's happening here.
Yeah,
I have that feeling about other people all the time.
What feeling?
Just people that I'm very angry with, or I still want to drive by their house and throw stuff in their windows and stuff.
Like ex relationships.
Oh no, just people I work with.
Oh right.
There's not a day goes by that I don't want to throw something in Brooke Shields' window.
Really?
A little rock or no? I'm just kidding.
Now, she's a dynamite lady, that Brooke Shields.
How do you know?
I did this movie with
her. You're in that movie that comes on cable. You two.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? And I'm supposed to be embarrassed about the celebrity mole. Come on, you guys. Own it.
That wasn't a bad movie.
Come on. What are you talking about?
It wasn't that sucky a movie.
Oh, God.
Anderson shaking his head like a chihuahua.
Jonathan Schacht with his
car.
Dyed platinum tips.
All right. Yeah, it wasn't
you
a great
what?
Movie.
It's
wasn't
time to
a great
own
movie.
Something.
It wasn't great. But let me say, our part was fine. We just improv.
Because it was just you guys doing your thing.
We just did our thing. I don't feel embarrassed.
Nor
about
did we
it.
Really know we were being filmed for a movie.
We didn't know
really
what
didn't.
Was going on.
They just put us, we were in a cinder block garage, right?
Right.
In Burbank. And they went, start talking.
Yeah.
That was it.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't think the movie was that bad. I didn't think it was. Let me.
You
get
were
something
so excited
great.
To see your own image that all of a sudden it's a great film.
I thought the movie.
You didn't travel with it to the festival circuit.
No,
I hope.
No.
I thought the movie was going to be god awful, unwatchable kind of thing, and it was just not good. That's
Kathy,
what I want to say.
We really didn't know this
well,
was.
What
a,
does that
Kathy,
mean? If someone calls you, you'll just go to their garage
it's
and start talking.
Interesting as a movie, and we get there, and they're like, "Yeah, just sit around and ask questions."
Yeah, they offered us some money, and they said, "You just sit around and talk."
And we literally assumed this was not going to go to print. This is not going to be a movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't really.
Yeah, it really did. I've never seen it.
I saw it.
Oh, it's on your Encore and your
is
Stars.
It? Is it?
Yes.
Well, anyway, I spoke to Brooke Shields at one of your parties, and she was a delight.
Aww.
Yeah. Joe?
Hello?
You're 32?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good. What's happening?
Aloha, Kathy, too, and Drew.
Mahalo.
Yeah, I made that clock for you guys last year. Do you remember that, or did you burn it?
No, I have it.
Yeah, you ripped on me for delivering pizza. I just quit that job New Year's Eve.
Well, you're an old guy.
I know, man. I'm moving back to San Diego next week, thank God.
Thank God? You're in Hawaii.
I've been here for 10 years, though. You know, it gets old. The water is beautiful, but it just gets
Where are you?
What island are you on?
I'm on Oahu.
What's,
Kaneohe, actually, opposite of Waikiki.
Right. Yeah. Good strip clubs over there in Hawaii.
All right. You know what? There's more to life.
No, Adam, I've really never been. I was in the military for like 8 years out here, so.
What were you in the Army or Navy or Air Force Marines?
Well, I was in the Navy. I sat behind the pilot on radios, and we went everywhere in the world. It was a blast.
Good for you.
Yeah. So.
I just went to Afghanistan on a C-17.
Oh, my God. How was that?
It sucked.
Really?
It sucks over there.
Or like USO type of
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I went to Kuwait, Afghanistan, and Uzbekistan.
What sucks? What?
Everything sucks about, right? Where have you been there?
Well, I've been to Bahrain. I've been to the Middle East. We did jet ski on the Persian Gulf, though. That was fun.
Well,
wow. Well, tell me what.
They don't let ladies jet ski on the Persian Gulf.
Well, tell us why. And by the way, how do you get involved with that USO stuff?
I had a girl I know who's on the show JAG called me, and she said she was going and asked if I wanted to go.
And how long do you go for those tours?
I went for a week, but I didn't go on like the David Letterman, like fly in, do one show, go back to the Four Seasons tour. I went on the like down and dirty, staying on the base in tents.
Right.
Porta potties, no running water. I mean, there's no running water in the entire country of Afghanistan.
Huh. Really?
It's horrible.
And what else is horrible?
The people are horrible.
That's what I love to hear.
Well, they are.
Good, because, you know.
They're horrible. They beat the crap out of the women. They don't even know why.
People always do this. I'm glad you're saying that these people are horrible, because people always do this. They go, well, the country's horrible. The government is horrible and corrupt.
The people.
I'm always like,
wonderful.
What do you mean the people are wonderful?
No, they're not wonderful.
Who's their government? Where they import their government from? The government are just more Afghanis, right?
No, not all right.
Yes, all right. Just start admitting horrible places have not only horrible governments, but horrible people. That's how the horrible governments take hold, and that's how they stay in place for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, if the people were so wonderful, how would they tolerate the government letting them beat the crap out of women? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not wonderful people.
Like, you can't even believe how horrible they are.
Good.
And I'm really tired of hearing that it's cultural. I kept hearing that. It is cultural. It's not cultural to beat the crap out of a woman with a stick in the middle of the street.
No, not the
right. They didn't do it 20 years ago, so how is it cultural?
And then
I hear, well, they don't know any better. That's not even true. First of all, in Afghanistan, a lot of the people that I met, some of the locals, they defecate in their homes. They defecate in their homes.
Why have done that? In a popcorn
container? And they kept saying because they don't know any better. They're so poor. I said, dogs don't crap where they live and sleep. What does that mean? They don't know any
better.
They
just crap on the floor?
And you know the women, like when you see the women crouching in the burkas, they pee right there.
They're taking a crap? Oh.
Yeah, it's right there. It's inside or outside.
Really?
The filth. It is so disgusting there. And then I was, of course, on this mission to, like, I was on this mission to do, like, this is the thing I wanted to do. I was doing jokes at the USO about how I wanted to do ballectomies. You know how they do the clitorectomies there? Well, I just wanted to go town to town cutting balls off the local men. Because I felt like it was a little time for payback. But anyway, so then, of course, when I met all these locals, they were, like, very friendly to me. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I'm trying to yell at them. And, you know, they don't understand English and stuff. So I'm like, hands. And all the Afghan guys are going, picture, picture, picture.
Right.
You know? And so they all wanted to be photographed very much. Like, I got the impression they wanted, like, a record of themselves, right?
Right.
So I was like, all right. So I'm taking pictures and stuff. And then I'm shaking hands because I'm determined to show them, like, how an American woman did. You know, some of the guys wouldn't look at me. And I'm, like, pointing to my face. Like, look at my face, you asshole.
Right.
And so anyway, so now I'm totally shaking hands with all the wife beaters.
Did you pee right there?
I wanted to pee on them, you know? And so I'm shaking hands, and I look down and their hands are stained yellow. So I said to, you're going to have to believe me, I said to one of the soldiers, I go, their hands smell like shh.
Right.
I guess.
And then he says, no, like poop. Yeah. And then he says, because it is. They wipe with their left hands, and I totally shook poo hands.
Yeah. No, not all right.
I shook poo hands for my country.
Didn't they use their right hand for shaking and the left is for wiping? Or?
Not if I'm right-handed.
Now, this is why... the whole ritual of washing your hands after going to the bathroom developed, you see?
All right.
Yeah, I think it developed a little more recently than yesterday.
Let's, hey, but they're beautiful people.
Yes, beautiful, peaceful.
These are cultural differences.
Yes.
These are cultural
differences. We should celebrate our differences.
We can't judge.
No.
We can't judge.
They beat the women because it's their culture.
Yes, they put a black pillowcase on their head and beat the crap out of them and then stone them to death. We can't judge.
Why should we tread?
Yes. All right. And where are all these bitches over here constantly complaining about equal rights and all that kind of stuff? They can't go over there and defend these people. They got to worry about some chick who's on some college campus who's trying to get in some old man's, some male-only golf club or something. This is where they put all their energy. They're such hypocrites.
You know, I'm still in the room, yes. Adam.
No, he's saying hypocrites. They don't support the women in the rest of the world who really need their help.
Well,
no,
because
they're, you know,
it is
why?
Shocking.
You know why? Because they're torn. Because they're these left-wing pussies. And
easy, Rush. When did this guy turn into Rush Limbaugh?
No, but here's the problem. And we got to go to break. We're late. But let me tell you what's going on with the women's libbers out here.
Well, that term doesn't even exist anymore.
It does in my mind. They want to protect women first and foremost. On the other hand, we're evil because we're in the United States and all these other cultures. It's just these cultural differences.
I agree with you. That is ridiculous.
They don't want to go fight
the United
culture.
States in that way is ridiculous.
Right. And they want to complain.
Yes, we're gonna.
At least we can complain.
We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody! It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Kathy Griffin, our guest tonight. She's gonna be on the Celebrity Mole, ABC, 10 o'clock this Wednesday, and then you can find her Thursday nights at the Laugh Factory, which is right at the mouth of the Sunset Strip.
Find the mole.
All right, we're going to. Try and take some calls. It's hard with Kathy, especially when she just got back from Afghanistan and everything. It's amazing. And we got halfway into our call with the guy from Hawaii. He said he just gave me a clock and he's moving back here, and then we forgot about him. But that's all right. Kathy's more interesting anyway.
What's
Brandon?
His problem? What's Brandon's problem?
I never know. He sent me a clock, and I want him to know that it's in my garage and I use it. Thank you.
Brandon.
Yes.
What's up?
I had a question about... pot withdrawal symptoms, mm-hmm, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I quit smoking pot for New Year's after I'd been smoking steadily for about 5 or 6 months. Mm-hmm. That'd be like 2 to 3 times a week. And I have this anxiety problem. I can't sleep right. I only get minimal sleep. And if I do, it's very light. And
yeah, marijuana withdrawal is very much like an opiate withdrawal. And it lasts up to 6 months. And the treachery with it is definitely sleep is disturbed for many, many weeks. And the other thing that is real prominent is mood disturbances. You can get very depressed. In fact, there's a rather striking incidence of suicidality in that first 6 months of marijuana abstinence.
So that's not good news.
So you should be going.
San Diego's going to clear that right up.
The other thing is, no, this is not. This is not.
This is Seattle.
He's gone. There's somebody.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you need to get some MA meetings, or you will go back to using, or you will use something else. That's just. It's a progressive disease. It has. You know. It's marked by relapses.
Well, can he just take a chill pill?
No.
I quit of my own accord. So is it possible for me then to taper off? Would that dull the symptoms at all?
Just go to an MA meeting. You will meet lots of people who've been through exactly what you're going through. They will support you through it. I would also suggest you talk to an addictionologist who's used to helping you with medication that counteracts some of this.
I like the negotiating. Well, what if I taper?
I know. Well, that's negotiation is part of addiction.
Well, he's 19.
Yeah.
He's got that bigger problem with weed that at age 19 he's...
withdrawing, yeah.
What's your suggestion?
I was just reading a study tonight that 8 days... You'll have 8 days with animal studies, then you'll have withdrawal.
I was just beating off and napping tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And... then they ate some Rock and Roll ice cream. But yeah.
How old are you, Adam? 13?
12.
Okay.
38. But I lead a very interesting, eclectic life. Mm-hmm.
Very charmed eclectic.
Beating off an ice cream.
Yeah.
It's not like napping, a Nora Ephron movie.
Not into the ice cream.
Did you cry?
No. I beat off. I took a nap. I made myself a sundae. I lanced a boil on my ass. But then I skipped rope.
Well, then it's okay.
You redeemed yourself.
I redeemed myself. Right.
By the clock that the Hawaiian friend gave you.
Sean, you're 28?
Yes, Sean.
Yes, Sean. What's up?
Get the name right, seriously.
Hey, how you guys doing? I love your show.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks.
How do you guys make money with all those PSAs? That's actually my number one question.
Oh, I don't know. Wait, you mean the public service announcements you hear during the commercial breaks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, how often they play those and in what city and all
I'm
that
gonna
kind of stuff.
Stay out of trouble.
You guys are like donuts in the middle of all that stuff.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that
Whatever.
Means.
Whatever.
Okay, anyways, my big question...
All right.
Well, I'll watch on. We've got to go to break.
I don't know what's
that one.
I do like donuts,
but think about your attitude. Think about reforming
the question. I don't mind his attitude, but all I do mind is people act like we're driving cross-country and we just shut the door and I announce the radio's broken. So I guess we're in for a haul. It, not that they're on a national radio show and they may have 2 or 3 minutes to get their important question in. You know, they just, we're like donuts in between the PSAs. All right, Kathy Griffin is here. We'll get back. Sean has a question that talks about anal sex. That's what initially attracted me to him. So we'll be back with Kathy and you and Drew after this. Buddy, hey, Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Kathy Griffin is our guest tonight. She is going to be on Celebrity Mole, which is coming up this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on ABC. And is also going to be at the Laugh Factory, which is at the mouth of the Sunset Strip. What time are
you there? Thursdays at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Thursdays at 8, right on Sunset.
Every Thursday?
Every Thursday.
How much time are you doing?
I do it long. I do like an hour and a half. I do a long show.
Wow.
I can't stop talking.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have. So I'm not one of those comics like, oh, how am I ever going to work up my Leno 6, you know?
Right.
It's more like, how are they ever going to get me off in under 2 hours?
Well, there's a
no,
note.
No, but thank you.
There's
Good
a
night.
No,
there, I shouldn't have had that third drink.
There's a note to hear on the screen, which is I was driving into work a few weeks back and heard you on Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, it was a little bit later in the day. It was about 10:30 in the morning out here. And I heard you say effed in the ass.
And it made it on the air. I heard about that.
And it made it on the air.
Yeah.
In what context?
What was, because you know Howard's having that meanest viewer contest or whatever?
Listener.
Like the meanest, right. Yeah, right. And so anyway, some guy called up and he was like yelling at Howard and he's like, oh yeah, Kathy Griffin's there. Well, I heard, do you know what I heard? How would I heard that Kathy Griffin's got, I heard she's got a dick. Like that. And then I said, yeah, I do, and it's big, and I'm going to blank you in the ass with it. And it was. And then Howard was like, whoa. But I was like, what? You guys have, like, that delay button, right?
Oh.
And he said, no. I said, what? What kind of operation is this? So I assumed that someone, I don't know. I thought
they must have a delay.
Well, I heard. How did it, but how was it then on the West Coast?
Listen, I've done that show, and they bleeped out me saying beating off and stuff like that.
Mm.
You'd be amazed at what they will bleep out on that show.
That got through.
But effed in the A, maybe, no problem.
Maybe they had bleeped out penis or something from what the guy was saying.
No.
Something hadn't reset yet for her.
I don't know. It's just somebody dropped the ball in a big way.
I got a lot of calls about that, though.
I was just listening, and you could hear Howard in the background say, well, we're going to have to bleep that out. And I was like, yeah. Well, wait a minute. I don't think you did. I heard her say. And then I was like, you go, girl.
That's
what I was
right.
thinking as I
two
was driving.
Snaps.
Yeah, two snaps. That's my girl.
Yeah.
Look at her. Look at her now.
Look at her go. I'm supposed to go back on the Stern Show at the end of the month and throw down with Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, boy.
Because
oh.
he and I did not get along on the Celebrity Mole.
I find that shocking.
And so we're supposed to just have it out once and for all on the Stern Show at the end of the month.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that.
I can take him.
Sean?
Yes, I'm still here.
You're 28.
Yes, sir.
All right. So your wife's into anal sex.
My girlfriend, yes.
Your girlfriend.
Yes, sir.
And she likes to use objects other than your penis?
Correct.
And what kinds of objects?
Well, that's the thing, is I'm trying to be discretionary about it, because I don't know, you know,
she's listening?
Off limits and what's not off limits.
Well, we didn't ask what do you want to use, we asked what have you used.
Oh.
Someone's head?
Every kind of dildo you can think of, and well, not every kind. We haven't used like the super, there's like a super super dong that's like ridiculous, but
right.
mm-hmm. we've used the salami,
sure,
cucumbers, we've used
mm-hmm.
everything but bottles and cans, because I hear that can cause
come on, You guys, this isn't a real
not,
call.
Not those
Come on.
Not those Progresso soup cans. Those will work. Those are fine.
Well, I know it'll cause a vacuum, and then, you know, you have to...
All right, listen. Hey.
Come on, what's going on?
Nothing.
You guys call... You guys
Sean's
just
catch
a these a lot sooner.
I'm just interested in talking. I'm just trying to amuse myself here. Sean's obviously full of crap. All right, let's... move on and take another call. The thing that's funny about Sean is there's two, actually, it's kind of funny because there's two types of bogus calls. There's the, I'm going to dance as fast as I can, like spin these plates, try to get this bogus call through. And then there's this sort of laissez-faire bogus caller, which is like he calls, like, hey, I heard you guys. It's like, You think it's an interesting process. It's an interesting approach because you think, well, this can't be a bogus call because he's not working at
it. Yeah,
you're right. What? It takes a while to orient to it, too. You're like, what? Huh?
But doesn't it take a long time to actually get on the air on this show? Like, don't you have to call and wait a long time?
Yep.
It's a lot of effort for a bogus call.
I'm from New Hampshire. It's cold up there.
Yeah. All right. Shanti?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's
my question is, I was sexually abused by my dad, and he's gotten remarried, and wife knows about the sexual abuse, and she's about to have a baby.
The wife that's pregnant knows about his having abused you.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And my thing is, I feel that, you know, she has to know because I don't think...
Didn't she just say that she knows?
I thought that's what she said.
She doesn't know about the sexual abuse that my dad, you know, when
What if you... All right, then she want to tell her. Is that right?
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, I don't know if it's something that he has, you know, overcome. And actually, I don't believe he has because...
Yeah, if he hasn't
I'm
had
with you.
Yeah, if he hasn't had extensive treatment, he will not have...
And it's also payback time for daddy. I mean, it's win-win.
Oh, I love it.
No, I mean, you should want to tell her because of the safety of this child.
Yeah.
Right.
And number two, you should want to kick this guy in the nuts for what he did to you.
I pretty much got past the abuse on myself. But
it leaves implicit memories in how your brain sort of put together, and it affects you for a long, long time in terms of how you conduct yourself in relationships. Well,
it has.
Of course.
You know, I believe that, you know, because of it, I'm gay. You know.
Oh, you're gay? Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And do you have kids?
No, I don't have any kids.
Good girl.
But, I mean, throughout my whole family, there's, like, dysfunctions. You know, my grandmother tried to kill herself. My dad, you know, the abuse. He was abused.
Right,
you know,
of course.
My aunt was raped. You know, my cousin was raped. And, you know, a lot of dysfunctions in my family.
That's her dad saying, hey, please. Jesus Christ, who are we missing?
I like the phone is from about 1940.
I was going to say it was
a sound effect from a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Come on. It's like the Jimmy Durante's on the other line.
Yeah. He taps it to get a new line.
he's holding it up and holding the ear part, and he's...
This is what I'm afraid of, though.
I'm afraid that when Shanti tells the new wife, the new wife isn't going to believe her or blame her. I want you to tell her how to cope with when that happens.
You got to remember who the woman is that's going to marry this dad.
Right.
She's real, like, down to earth, and she's, like, she does, like, vocational rehabilitation, so I know she's dealt with, like... Women who've been, like, incarcerated.
Here's the deal, Shanti. It is fine for you to tell her. It's a good thing for her to know. She needs to know it. Whether or not you can preserve your relationship and not put yourself in a vulnerable position is what we're concerned with. One of the things you might consider doing is calling Department of Social Services and getting some assistance with this, because really you're going to need somebody to kind of supervise and structure this guy and make sure that he's...
Hold on, 1953 is calling again.
Weston, we relaxation of past.
Hold on. You know, and it's like, I don't know.
I think it's good that you tell her, but I'm just, you may not get the reaction that you deserve and the reaction that you hope for.
It could put you in a
vulnerable
position.
But don't be too discouraged. You're right.
I call the Department of Social Services and discuss it with them, perhaps, and see if they have some way of helping you out. If not, then forge on.
Are they going to really do anything?
What about as far as I really don't care if she leaves them.
Yeah, but they might make you the problem.
Right, it's possible that it could turn on you,
right,
because sometimes when people feel so guilty, they make it. They try to make it about you.
Right. Do you have
but
a?
It's not. They're wrong, and you're right.
Do you have a relationship with her?
You know, I'm in another city, we're all right. But I mean, I haven't been around them to really see her, because I can tell her things like on different subject matters in general. Like, say, with abuse and everything. She's like, oh, my God, you know, how can anyone do that? And I'm thinking, well, if you know what my dad did to me.
How long did your dad do this to you?
It had to have been about 11 years, between the ages of 5 and, like, 11. And
so just your entire childhood.
What do you think about her writing a letter? What about a letter? It's kind of hard to deny that in front of you.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I started like a 3-page letter. I don't know if I'm going to address it to my father or give it to both of them or just, you know, let them know what everything I've been going through.
Well, listen, Shanti, here's the deal. Your father deserves plenty of retribution. Always know that he was a victim and he's in his own hell, I'm sure, as well, because as bad as this was for you, it's got to be kind of a bad life being the one who felt this was necessary to do it to their daughter. I mean, that's got to be its own sort of hell. Doesn't make it right, but it doesn't mean he doesn't deserve to be paid back. But he's probably not the world's happiest guy. So at least you got that to comfort you.
I did get a restraining order back, like, when, because after my brother died, I felt like the only reason why I didn't say anything for so long was because my brother and my dad. You know, that's his only son.
And right.
All
right. We give you A, permission to get a new phone. And number B, you speak to her, but just be prepared to leave and not feel satisfied. You think you're going to get something off your chest. There's going to be a feeling of relief and satisfaction.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually work that way. That you got to take care of yourself, unfortunately.
I don't know. I spend much time writing a letter to Dad either.
I'd write the letter to the new mom.
She said she'd written it to him.
Like, she said she was going to give one to him and one to her. No. Just
Nice little 3-paragraph letter to
I
the new wife.
I wouldn't write a letter because then she's going to go, look what your daughter wrote about you. Look, it's right here.
Right.
And as opposed to just say, look, I'm telling you something. You need to know this. All you do with it what you will.
I'm always amazed, too, that when people, I understand denial. I understand denial about, well, you're feeling a lump and you don't want to go to the doctor. I understand that kind of denial. I don't understand the denial when someone comes up and says, Dad was molesting me for a number of years. And you're like, no, he wasn't. Yeah. Like, that kind of denial, really? I mean, I understand
because
putting things off.
Your whole world is like a house of cards that comes tumbling down.
Right.
Because if you admit that Dad did it, then you got to admit that Mom knew, and you got to admit the collusion, and the collusion can be worse than the act itself. It's like the whole foundation is rocked.
Yeah, I understand the part where you want to deny it, where you wish it didn't happen, but the part where you actually say it didn't happen is like, why would this daughter
just
come forward with this about if this didn't actually indeed happen?
Well, what I hate is when people, and I remember this happening during like the McMartin trial and stuff, and everyone would say, you know, child abuse, that's a horrible accusation to make against someone. And the priests, all the priests in Boston and stuff. No, it's a horrible crime.
Yeah.
It's not that horrible an accusation if you didn't do it. Very common crime. But they say, oh, those poor priests, they don't get a chance. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they want to be priests makes them guilty in my book. Right
guilty. Now. They're all guilty.
Laura?
Yes.
We'll see them in hell. And it'll be very ironic when they're burning in their frocks.
Oh, I can't wait.
At least I'll just be wearing cutoffs and burning. It's going to be ironic when they have the collar and frock on and they're burning. Pope's hat's on fire. It's going to be tough. I'm just going to be wearing like gym shorts with my nuts hanging out while I'm burning. Mm-hmm. That's my move.
Don't get me started on this Pope.
Let me ask you something. What happened to the nuts hanging out of the shorts? That was quite stylish when I was in high school.
What happened to that?
Three out of four guys during the summer had the sack hanging out of the shorts. And now this is something that young women are being deprived of, I believe. Now the shorts.
What is more attractive than the outline of a ball sack?
Oh, no outline.
No outline. Sack hanging out of the shorts.
Oh, yummy. That is sweet.
Everyone is, all the kids today wear shorts that are like, they're like midway up the shin.
Right.
Yeah. But back in
where
the day.
Where are the balls?
Those dolphin shorts.
I can remember when you could see a guy's sack. Right. Like, you went out, you sat around lunch during
the
summertime.
He crosses his leg a certain way. Yeah. That's
it. Pop out.
Right.
Yep, don't see that anymore.
I know you want these nuts.
All right, Laura, what's up? Laura?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, I just wanted to tell Kathy that I think she's great in the movie Muppet from Outer Space.
Why, thank you.
Where you filmed
I only work with the best. Yes, Animal, I had a big makeout scene.
Yes.
I'm totally seeing
son,
him.
My 3-year-old son is just in love with you. We have to rewind the tape every time.
See? I reach out to the people.
He's beating off already?
Yes. Adam, no, it was so nice.
That's all.
All right, baby.
See, Adam, when he rewinds tapes...
Yeah.
For one reason only.
Right.
We'll get to the good part.
Oh, God darn you, TiVo.
You know what I like? I like the, I rewound a tape tonight to get to the advertising, the phone sex advertising part.
Why?
At the front.
What do you mean? Like on TV?
No,
on the video tapes.
I'm lonely and I wish someone was here to.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
That does it for you?
They got the chick. She's talking on the phone, but she's getting it on with the dude at the same time. We were talking about this.
Is this
a
porn movie
ago.
Or a commercial?
These are porn movies. But it's commercials. Commercials. They run commercials at the beginning of the porn movies.
For 800 numbers or something.
Yeah. They want you to call up.
And so what was it that got you?
Well, I kind of like it because they're talking to the camera. Like, normally, they're pretending like the camera's not there.
I see.
But this time, they're, like, blowing a guy, and they're talking on the phone, and they're talking to the camera, and they're so like...
It's for you, Adam. It's to you.
Right.
She's talking to you.
And she's like, I love it when you call, and I want... And I'm like, who's the dude you're blowing, though? Like, who's this dude? Who is this... There's a penis that's in your face. It's in your mouth. What do you mean? We don't have any kind of relationship. Like, if I called, you'd be talking to me in between blowing this guy. But I still like it because they acknowledge the camera, Drew. You know what I'm saying? Does that make me extra weird?
She's talking to you. Yeah.
I like that part.
That is so telling.
Yeah.
About
what
you.
Speaking of telling, what is it about women to watch that Joe Millionaire show?
That's great.
Yeah.
I watched it tonight.
These women are being brutalized. It's cruel.
Yeah, they deserve it, Drew.
I know. It's really angry towards women. It's all cruel. About deceiving them and all this stuff.
It's women. It is their fantasy.
But I love it. I can't help it.
It's their fantasy. And only women. I can't watch it. It's painful. It gives me pain in my chest.
Oh, I love it.
But women love watching women being brutalized.
I know. Well, women are women's worst enemy. That's
what
definitely
is
a
that?
Fact.
Well, listen, I've said it many times.
I love
women,
watching the show, though.
Women and the blacks, it's their problem. They all turn on each other.
You're right.
They don't get anywhere.
You're totally right. Those reality shows are really, they're a microcosm for a society.
They really are.
It's true. The women on all those reality shows, they vote each other off first.
Right.
It's really true. Women are not good at sticking together.
Women.
They shun each other.
You know why? Here's how you know they don't stick together. Every third speech, and this is the same problem with the black community, which is every third speech is, we got to band together. We got to get, you never hear white guys go, we got to get together. No, here's what white guys do. It's like, listen, I'm going to screw you for a while, then you screw me, but don't worry, we'll both get rich.
Uh-huh.
Men like watching men beat the S out of each other. With the swords or whatever we like.
Well,
violence.
Women like watching.
But women
you
like
know.
Each other being emotionally
we like action
brutalized.
And violence, but we don't. We compete athletically, and then
embrace afterwards.
But then when we're done, we shake hands and go home.
Women, they want to destroy each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're much more devious that
fun.
Way.
It's fun.
It's cruel. It's brutal.
Ugh, I love watching The Bachelor with crazy Christy crying and flipping out, and I loved it.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to me. I just loved it.
Yeah. All women. And it was crazy. My wife, crazy.
Oh.
They can't.
It's a
and especially if a chick's attractive. They love it when they get their comeuppance.
Mm, that
they
is
love
a dream.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if some chick is fat and got a big nose, it's like...
I don't want to see that.
You know,
I want her to get a break.
If she's an exceptional bitch, you'd like to see her get a little something, a little payback. But a hot chick...
Oh, going down. She's going down.
Going down.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's great when the beautiful people really get it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And that's what this Joe Millionaire thing's going to be. I think that guy's coming on the show.
We're trying. Ann is desperately trying to come up here. He's a construction worker.
You're
going to get stuff out of him that
charming.
No one else has gotten out.
He's very charming.
No, let me tell you. I'll guarantee he knows nothing.
Oh, really? About construction?
Yes.
All right. Why? You're saying that sight unseen.
Because everybody, first off, everyone loves to assign these occupations to people. Like, he's a construction. No, he's a 23-year-old pretty boy is what he is. And
he said he likes getting his hands in the dirt.
Believe me, he'll come on the show.
He operates a big
machine.
That's according to... to whatever. Oh, they just make a bigger deal about it.
Doing all that. I mean,
yeah, but you can learn that.
He wears
in
a really worn-in flannel shirt. It's super hot.
So you think he does? Yeah. Does he do any construction?
No. I think he drives the tractor.
You think he's a temp?
Around. I don't know. By the way, if you operate heavy machinery, I don't know why you make $19,000 a year. Those guys get paid a decent amount. The guys who are licensed to drive the backhoes.
Maybe he wants to give back to the community. Something you never did.
No.
All right, let's take a little a break. I'll be glad to get him in here and give him a construction quiz, Drew. He's not a construction worker. He probably knows about driving the equipment. I guarantee he knows nothing. All right. Kathy Griffin is our guest tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Kathy Griffin is our guest tonight. You can find her on the Celebrity Mole, which is Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on ABC. You can also find her Thursday nights, 8 o'clock at the Laugh Factory
and also
on the Sunset Strip.
In Seattle at Town Hall, Seattle Town Hall, January 22nd, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock show.
Yeah. Do not miss Kathy.
Mm-mm. It is a treat. I'm the Mole. Interesting.
She's a laugh riot. Truly very funny. Very funny female. Comedian.
No, it's Anne.
She's funnier than Margaret Cho.
Okay. Much funnier. You know what? I don't know what's going on with your checkered past. I just want you to know that when I went to Anna Nicole Smith's Christmas party, and I practiced...
This is going to be good.
Everyone's on hold. Mm-hmm. And so I went to a Christmas party, and I, you know, love all that stuff and all that kitsch and everything. Love all that. I love a freak show. I love a freak show, and that was like Freak Show Central. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I was on the special. That's the deal. You go to be on the special. And I went, and I just basically got into arguments with Howard K. Stern the whole time because I don't like him.
Who?
Howard K. Stern, her attorney.
He's a piece of work.
Very good attorney. But anyway, so then later in the party, Margaret Cho came and she made out with Anna, you know, for the cameras. And my mother called and she said she was very disappointed that I went to the party. And
Why? She
said, you know, Kathleen, you're very funny. You don't need to do those things.
Yeah.
And then she said, and what's happened to Margaret Cho? My mother was very disappointed in both of us.
Is Margaret, she on the sauce again?
No, I believe she's off the sauce.
She's sober. That's not a sober move.
It's not a sober move, yeah.
Oh, well, but it could be a for the cameras move.
Yeah, it could be lezzing out for the camera.
It could be a publicity,
mm-hmm.
moment.
Could be a little less off thing going on.
Yeah. Anna is on the sauce. I can say with complete confidence, she is definitely on the sauce. Was on a lot of sauce that night.
Alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know what pills she was taking or what, but I know I saw her drink a lot. But I mean, everybody drank a lot.
It was at Kathy's Christmas party a few years back that Margaret Cho cornered me and explained to me that she was off the sauce and wanted to apologize for sexually harassing me.
Oh, A-stepping you. Nice.
And I've had this happen a few times where I had a guy who's AA guy I've known for probably 10 or 15 years call and apologize the other day to me. And I was just at work, and he just said he wanted to call and apologize. And I said, well, why? I like you. I've always liked you and never done anything wrong to me. And it's like, that's part of my inventory.
He's doing his step.
Doing my step. And I'm like, that's great, but it's intrusive because it's weird for me because now I've been drawn into your step, you know? And I still like the guy and everything, and I was just like, yeah, I have no need to apologize, but...
Was it Andy Dick?
No.
Because he needs to do a lot of apologizing.
Yeah,
Andy's
not on any step, by the way. He's on the step of his house in a puddle of vomit.
I have to leave at this point.
Andy came out to do some crank yankers phone calls with
in
us.
In Vegas?
Yes, and the report back was that Andy's not on any steps. No.
You missed him at the Christmas party this year.
Yeah, how was he?
He was had a lot of 18-year-old boys with him.
Yeah,
and you know they do that thing where they like go in the bathroom for a while, and then they come out,
yeah,
and the boys are like flushed. Yeah. You know what I mean? They have a whole new color to their cheek.
The report was is they made many, many trips to the bathroom with this 18-year-old
friend.
Well,
he's got a bad bladder.
Yeah. I think we may have to give Andy a little talk if he is willing to come back on the show again. Well, it's an intervention, except for he has to come to us.
Yeah,
that's my kind of intervention.
Live on the air.
You guys are not very good sponsors. You're not doing any work.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Drew and Adam.
Andy's a great guy, and he's a funny guy, but I think he's having a substance problem again. And I don't know about Margaret.
Don't say that. I feel bad about that.
I'm sorry to hear that. If that's true.
That's what I think is going on.
But don't you find that with Andy, it's kind of difficult to tell? There's not a big difference in his behavior when he's sober and when he's using drugs and stuff. I mean, he's kind of like that Tom Arnold thing. It's hard to tell with Tom Arnold.
Yes.
He's sweaty all the time.
I don't.
When he's doing coke, when he's not doing coke. He's always red and sweaty and kicky and hyper.
Chain smoking Havana cigars. But I don't know if Andy Dick is on drugs or not. I would guess, if I was a betting man, I would say yes. But yes, I agree with you. It's hard to tell with him.
Hard to tell.
All right. And I hope he's not. I hope he's doing okay.
Jesus Christ in heaven. Where has this been? Send me an ounce of this stuff.
He's always said if he were to go out again, it'd be on pot.
Oh, really?
I didn't expect too much craziness.
Yeah.
What program is that where you can just smoke pot?
No, none. But I'm just saying that he always had said if he were to go out, that's where he'd go out.
What do you mean by go out?
Go out again.
Go off.
Relapse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All I'm saying is the worst experiences I've ever had with people when they're in drugs or on drugs is when they're off drugs and they have to confront me about it and apologize. Mm-hmm. I've had this happen many a time now with many a person, and it's very uncomfortable because when they're high, they're just high. It's like, okay, Margaret, come on, you're high, baby. Yeah, it's all good. But when they're sober and they're looking you in the eye and now you've had a couple of high balls and you're Kathy Sounds, you're trying to have a good time, this is where it gets painful.
Now, when is my mother going to eighth-step you?
Yeah.
That's because, boy, she has, wow. If I had a dime for every time she hit on you.
I got to get
your mother.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we got
this
together.
Year, we had at the Christmas party, we had The Bachelor. You know that show, The Bachelor?
Yeah.
My mother was all over him, I swear to God. She was like, you are a charming young man. In that very, like, you know, World War II way.
Well, she was
You think I got a couple of good, pair of good gans? Because you are something, you know.
She was diagnosed as a nymphomaniac, just
She's
like
a big nympho. My mother's a very big nympho.
Brett?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yes, I was listening to your guys' conversation, so.
Thanks, everybody. You had a couple beers tonight?
No, actually, I am 11 years sober, so that's why I was kind of interested in your conversation.
Yes, please do not confront your friends and do your inventory in front of them. It's very uncomfortable for us.
It's the making amends is what we're talking about.
Yes.
You really can, being sober around. I'm used to being around, like, people who are, like, big drinkers, and so I'm now the stick in the mud.
Are they at your house now? Because I hear them in the background.
No, you're listening to, what is this?
Joe Millionaire?
The movie? No, it's a movie.
All right, anyway. What's up? What's up there, Brett?
Oh, I had a question about...
It's good to know he hasn't lost his sense of humor and
his
personality.
Or his place in the movie.
Yeah. And listen, I like, I have a couple of sober friends, and we take them with us. I mean, they drive, they keep the order. There's no problems there. Brett?
Yeah?
Go ahead.
So you wanted to ask...
Okay, the question that I had concerned, like, anal sex, I thought it was a very big, taboo until my last girlfriend, and she's the one who turned me on to it, and now I'm insatiable about it. It's like, but I don't know how to ask my new partner if she would like to try it. I mean, is there a...
Well, are you insatiable for the actual act, or is it the way your old girlfriend used to sort of react to it?
No, the actual act.
Because
I really enjoy it.
All right. Well, first thing you need to do is not tell her that this is what you're used to with the old girlfriend.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a big no-no.
You got to make it as if it's a surprise. Secondly, I don't think I would, sort of bring it up over breakfast.
No.
I might attempt to start probing that area a little and experimenting when you guys had the juices flowing. And seeing where she was at with it.
But be sure to ask her if she likes this. And sort of.
I would really like to know what juices flow in her anus.
Well, it's interesting.
There aren't any, are there?
Oh. No, there are. But women that are multi-orgasmic sometimes have sort of an experience that way they can't get through anything else.
I just don't believe you.
No,
I just don't believe you.
Here's,
I know that, there, I said it.
And interestingly, women have such different sexual responsiveness that women that are multi-orgasmic won't believe when women say they have trouble having an orgasm. They go, I just don't believe you. It's impossible. It's so easy for me.
No, I don't believe that there's sensitivity in your anus.
Nobody's ever said
that. Plus, that's bad. Isn't it bad to have repeated rectal sex?
What's that?
Isn't that bad to have repeated anal sex? Can't you hurt your rectum and all that?
Yes, you can hurt things, yeah.
Do you want her to be wearing diapers in 6 months, buddy?
I don't know.
Sick of it.
It seems to be doable if there's no trauma. I mean, you know, if
I would really like to know what you have had up your ass for you to say that. With you. Listen to you two. Sitting here, I think it's kind of nice.
No.
I want to put stuff up your ass right now. Let's go. Let's do some real experiments.
Like? Microphone, water bottle, Drew's coffee mug. What about that, Drew? But wait a minute. Here's what we're saying. Some women enjoy this. Some women.
Wait,
do.
Let's put it this way. Not into it.
I'm not into it.
And yet we hear from women all the time that it's something extremely pleasurable to them.
Okay, but admit that a lot of women want to say that to turn guys on because they think guys want to hear it.
I can't have an orgasm unless something is in my ass.
You hear that? That's a Gold Bond commercial.
She's clearly a stripper. Who else talks like that? I can't have an orgasm unless something's in my ass.
Well, I can't have an orgasm unless something is in my ass.
But now you're passing judgment on the fact that she's a stripper.
Of course I am.
And she needs that as part. She was sexually abused, and so she needs this high level of arousal in order to have a sexual function.
I am passing judgment on all things that are pleasurable only to men.
No, it's not. A lot of guys are not into this.
I can't have an orgasm unless something is in my ass.
Let me put it this way. There's a small percentage of women who really enjoy giving a man oral sex.
I think there's a much smaller percentage of women who want to take it up the ass.
Smaller. But here's the point.
It's over now.
How dare you?
It's over now. No. You two have had this show too long.
And a large group of men that are into it unnecessarily, that are aggressively into it.
Why do you think that is, Drew? Maybe some anger issues?
I think it is.
Toward
absolutely.
Women? Yes. Maybe it's a little debasing?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Why men do it. But we're not talking about why men do it. We're talking about why women...
But you know women. You know they're going to let guys do practically anything because they feel bad and it makes them feel better to please their man.
There is that out there.
So cathartic.
There is that out there.
Obsessed with anal sex.
Now, here, let me explain what happens. There's many women who do want to please their man. But
when we discourage them, we're like, what are you doing? Why this hurts you? What the F are you doing?
Justify, spin it. I guess it feels sort of good. Daddy, is that you again?
No. We do talk to many women who say their boyfriend is bugging them to do this and they don't want to do it. And yes, my point was is there are a certain percentage of women who get great pleasure from giving a guy oral sex. They shouldn't logically get pleasure from doing this act, but yet they do anyway. And it's the same with anal sex.
But it's
not as many of them.
If you're giving the guy oral and you like it, then it's probably because you really like the guy and it's exciting and all that stuff.
How come I've
never had a woman, female friend say to me, like if we're like talking about sex, I've never once had a female friend say, you know what, you should try anal sex. I bet you like it. But how many guys have I been with that are like, you know, you should try anal sex. I bet you'll like it. How do they know?
If you have a female friend who's multi-orgasmic, though, talk to her.
Because those are
the ones that tend to.
Hey, Brett.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to open up the can of worms.
It's all right.
I hate that there's no equivalent. I hate that there's no female equivalent. I want to do something to the guy that feels great for me.
He's got to talk himself into it. Here's what you do. Die 10 years early and you drive
our
car.
Ruin his muscles. What?
Cosmo is teaching you guys that there's a G-spot, which is total BS.
Trying to cram
fingers up guys' asses. That's not necessary.
I never bought the G-spot. That's ridiculous.
No, hold on. You two relax. We got to rein the show in now.
I can ask a different question.
Let me ask you this. this girlfriend of yours, the one who did enjoy the anal sex?
My ex-girlfriend did.
Yes, this ex-girlfriend.
Was it her idea?
The one who said that she liked it better than Vaseline.
Right. What was her problem? Did she have any issues?
Her ex-husband, who is now her new husband again,
oh boy,
basically had molested their daughter. That's why they got a divorce.
See? You see, Kathy? Very healthy. Very healthy.
Exactly. It was a very dysfunctional family. I'm glad I'm out of it. It's a bad story. It kind of messed me up for a while.
All right. All right. Well, Kathy's right. Then she had some abuse, and she was screwed up. But she enjoyed it. Yes?
Yes.
That's the moral of the story.
What?
Now, the new girl probably is not going to be a fan of this. But, pardon the pun, she may be. So you can ask. Not force, just ask. And if she says no and she's not into it, then that's it. You got to move on to prostitutes. Like a gentleman.
Oh, God.
All right. Look, I'm just saying, I don't, Drew, I'm going to put a percentage on this thing.
Of women that
here
like
we go.
Anal sex and actually orgasm from it?
No. I'm going to say of women who would look at it as sort of a something that they wouldn't be opposed to.
Okay.
And not an every session kind of thing, but, you know, weekend, holidays kind of thing.
We need
thing,
two
couple
categories.
Times a year.
We need ones that actually enjoy it, that really are into it.
What, wait a minute. What percentages are we talking about?
Well, I am saying,
this
no, we know. We're never
report.
Wrong. We're never wrong. We're never wrong. I would say...
Masters and Johnson over here.
I would say there's about 4 or 5% would just be sort of open once a year
say,
if I'm in love with the
and
guy.
I'd say less than 1% are actually into it.
No, I'd say, like I would 2%? Say that somewhere in that 4% you'd find the, it was good, we did it twice last year and dug it both times, but it's not part of the every session.
No, I'm saying
thing.
Less than 1%, it's like.
This is how I get off?
Right.
Yeah, maybe 1%. Yeah. All right. Kathy Griffin's our guest tonight. We'll put her in the 99% who would not get off. I would argue that if
go ahead, put me in.
That if she felt my gentle caress.
I'm all yours. Yes.
I will do the reach around diddle,
By the way, you know it's where I poo. Oh. Okay, remember, fellas, when it sounds so hot, it's where I poo.
What about when I give you the reach around diddle?
Ew. Oh, gross.
That's
get out of there.
That's my move.
Oh, my God.
Just reach around and ring that doorbell. You know what I'm saying? All right, we're going to take a little break.
I'm not home. Yeah. Go away.
Oh, Avon, lady. We'll be back.
You turned into Paul Lynde for a minute.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Kathy Griffin is our guest tonight. Dear friend. Celebrity Mole, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock, ABC, and going to be the Laugh Factory Thursday nights, 8 o'clock, out here on the Sunset Strip. And then she's going to be in Seattle.
At the Town Hall, June 22nd.
That's right. We got a question for Kathy. Kevin?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey. I was watching the Dan and Nicole Christmas special thing and everything.
My proudest moment.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you really meet that, like, hillbilly chick straight off the hills from Arkansas?
Yeah, and I was really scared of her, because I could tell she was super hammered. Shelly.
Yeah.
Shelly doesn't have any teeth.
That's something they made up for the show.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
That's her real cousin.
That's really, like...
And she ain't got no teeth, and she's got a bad attitude. And I will say, though, I had left by the time she started that fist fight.
Oh, that you left? You missed it?
Yeah, I didn't eyewitness that fist fight, but I was there when she was singing her crazy karaoke.
Is this the cousin who came over and wanted...
some pills?
Wanted work for dentistry and wanted to go out to lunch?
Yes, she wanted some teeth and some pills.
From you?
No, from Anna.
From Anna.
And Anna did have the pills, actually. She couldn't give her the teeth.
But she's a woman who appeared to be... You know, the white trash...
Yeah.
White trash women, hard to tell, like, when they're 28, they look like they're 58.
Yes, yeah.
Well, plus, I think she has a bunch of kids. But she's very thin. She's clearly a
junkie.
Has to be a junkie. Yeah. I mean, I don't know but for sure, but appears to be a giant drug alcoholic. And
I couldn't tell how old she was, but apparently she's about Anna's age.
I remember she's younger because I remember Anna saying that she used to babysit her.
That's what I'm saying. So
Anna's like 35, right?
Here's this woman who looks like she's 58.
Right.
It's
she's like 32.
Yeah, used to babysit me when I was just a little kid.
No, and she must be 28.
Whatever she is, this is very, I like the...
And I know that Kimmy, Anna's assistant, said that Shelly just showed up. unannounced for the party. Somehow heard about her.
I like the rail on the blacks and the Mexicans and stuff for obvious reasons, but nothing better than white trash.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's
nothing
money in the bank.
White.
That is money in the
money
bank.
In the bank. Money yeah. in the bank. Jessica?
Yes?
You're 28?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, before we get started, or before I ask my question, I just wanted to tell Kathy that I love anal sex, and I actually masturbate that way as well.
Okay. Straight Kathy out here.
All right, let's talk about your childhood.
But are you okay? Are we abused?
I can't believe this. I'm here on the radio trying to make women feel free to say no to anal sex, and now I get this one calling me
no,
like,
I'm totally
I love it. I come five times.
What do you use when you masturbate? Use a finger or dildo?
A dildo.
Are you multi-orgasmic?
Yes.
See, okay. But this is the trend, Kathy. It's just how women function.
And I'm
the
fine
ones
with
that are multi-orgasmic.
Not liking it, and they should be able to say no, but
Now, listen to this. How do you feel about women who can't have an orgasm?
Oh, my good.
Wait.
How do I feel? I feel very sorry for them.
Doesn't that seem kind of weird to you, or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so you like this, and you do it with your partner as well?
Uh-huh.
How's your partner? Now, what if you got with a guy who wasn't really down with this, like me or Drew, even though Drew's a passionate man, he's still not into dipping it into the jar of peanut butter, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm married, and my husband likes doing it whenever I want it.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're the one that initiates that?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like...
You better start asking questions before I do.
I wouldn't mind.
Come on, do your thing.
I asked her if she'd been traumatized.
She says she's fine, right?
Yes.
No, everything nice in the family growing up?
No.
As nice as it could be, I guess.
When did your dad rape you?
No. Not that I know of.
Nobody, like, sodomized you with the business end of a tiki torch or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
All really? Right. You just started liking anal sex. You just started.
Women that are multi-orgasmic tend to respond.
She's
to
a little more evolved than you sexually,
oh
Kathy.
My God.
That's no way, baby. I'm not judging.
Why did I turn into baby?
Sweetie, I'm not judging.
Oh, gosh.
I'm saying she's just, you're a little more tight. Okay.
She's
a little
she
more
poos.
Evolved. Right, think how evolved you'd have
okay,
to be.
Okay, what happens when... All right, I want to hear from her what happens when she's having anal sex and the guys get a little bit rough.
All right.
Because, you know, there's every
but
so often...
But the husband's kind of not into it, though.
Well, we'll find no, there's her, the her other guys before
it.
The husband.
Her
and then they get,
into
you know,
it.
Guys get a little excited. It's the frat party, and they've had a little too much punch. How much of a sweet thrill is that?
Jessica?
Well, usually when I have or I'm having anal sex, I usually go very fast.
Mm. Okay. Come on!
You a lube girl? You use a lot of lube?
Yeah.
I
control it all the time. I'm always in control.
Someone's jealous.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
I'm jealous of your husband. That's what I'm talking about.
But my question is, my husband and I are having a running debate, and with the New Year's coming around and with people doing diets, I read somewhere that when men masturbate, that it takes their body... Like, they burn calories when they create new sperm or whatever to ejaculate with.
You burn calories when you blow your nose. I mean,
well, yeah, but...
Right.
So, I guess my question is if they were to masturbate, like, 10 times a day, would they would be burning calories and thus losing weight?
No, not significantly.
Not significantly?
No, maybe 2 minutes on a treadmill.
Not even.
Yeah.
Well, because I know when they say when women breastfeed, they lose a lot of weight from that.
Yeah, but that is truly concentrating nutrients in the breast. I mean, you're pulling from other sources of calories in your body and creating a nutrient for your child.
Okay.
It's different.
What about cornholing, Drew? How many calories does that burn? It has the word corn in it, and that's starchy, is it not? It's a carbohydrate.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Jessica, you're fine, baby.
Okay, well, thank you.
Right. You come to Kathy's next Christmas party.
I would love to. I think she's hilarious.
Thank you, Jessica.
You explain to her and Brooke Shields about the cornholing thing.
Well, all I'll right. show her.
All oh. right, yeah. Is Brooke into that? Please say
okay, you know
please
what? Yeah, we all are. Okay?
Yeah.
We all
yeah.
love it.
Well, I'm not mentioning you. I want
right,
to know about
did you
Brooke.
Hang up on her yet?
Yeah, hung up on
she's
her.
She's an idiot. idiot.
She is.
I'm glad she thinks I'm hilarious. God bless. She's an idiot. Wants to know coming 10 times a day is going to be a good diet for her husband.
Right, all
and
right.
You two talking to her like she's not an idiot. I'm sick of it.
She's not an intellectual genius.
Oh, my God.
That's
okay,
evident.
So you're saying that if my husband beats off 10 times a day, he will lose a significant amount of weight or not very much?
I know.
And look at you two. You're like, let me think about this.
I always like it when couples have arguments about these things, like in between cornholing sessions, they're discussing him losing his
beating
chi.
Off diet. What is that?
Oh.
Look at you two. What's
and
happening
to
you
two? And by the way, if anyone ever does license
you would be
that,
invisible.
I think I'm in for a taste. I mean,
you invented it.
It could argue that
you would
that's
be like
an intellectual
a walking
property
coat hanger,
of mine.
Your clothes just hanging off you. You can barely function.
Yeah,
you're so thin.
It's Ichabod Corolla. Look at him. Come on here. Let me snap you in half. Margaret Cho would just hold me down and write me because I wouldn't be strong enough to defend
apologize.
Myself. All right. Drew, I don't want to take this next call.
All right, what do you want to hear?
So who's been on hold for the longest? This guy's been on hold for 61 minutes over here.
You talked to her.
Oh, he did?
That was Jessica.
All right, who's on hold for a second? Greg.
Yes.
You're 29. You hallucinate. You get sleepy when you're driving.
Sort of, yeah. What I've noticed, actually, can I say hi to Kathy? Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
You are fabulous.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And hi, Dr. Drew, and hi, Adam. Okay.
Thank you. The gays love Kathy Griffin.
Yes, they do.
They will stand behind you, too.
I love them.
All right, what's the deal, Greg? Real quick.
Yeah, what I've noticed, I do a lot of traveling. It's and if I just had a long day, it's late at night, I'm on the road. When I'm getting really worn out, I will hallucinate. I will be convinced that I see, you know, construction trucks going across the road or cars spinning out. Or
How sleep deprived are you? Like severely sleep deprived?
Say that again.
How sleep deprived are you?
I don't know how to quantify that.
In other words, we have had 2 hours of sleep for 6 days in a row or something? Or?
No, nothing that bad. On average, I probably get about 5 or 6 hours a night.
You on any medication?
No.
I would say different people have different thresholds for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, hallucinations, you're basically slipping into a dream mode. You're going into a...
Yeah, with your eyes open.
With your eyes open. It is
driving.
Dangerous.
Yeah, so don't do it. Know your limitations.
You don't think he's like a little narcoleptic or seizure-y or something?
He just needs more sleep.
And here's the other thing, too, everybody. Some people can drink a pint of rum and a gallon of vodka and be fine. And other people...
Stop talking about my mother.
They come on to meet Christmas parties. But other people, everyone's got their own thresholds. Know where yours are. And don't drive or don't drink or don't do whatever if that's where your threshold is. Right. We'll be back. Time has really not helped Kathy Griffin. She's just as bitter and cynical as she ever was, maybe more so. She's really on a jag. The marriage going okay?
The marriage is going very well. Oh, right. I'm back.
Yeah, marriage is going well?
Very well, yes.
Are you in therapy?
No, we're not.
I mean, you personally.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I don't need that, man. That's for crazy people.
All right. This may take some of that mole money and send it that way. Okay. Celebrity Mole, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on ABC. And, of course, the Laugh Factory on Thursdays, 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And going to be at the...
Seattle Town Hall, January 22nd.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I love anal sex, and I actually masturbate that way as well.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.